pressurized thermometer up the vaginal canal.
Right.
And that the body would then feel like it's been bred,
yep.
would ovulate, and they'd go out of heat.
Right. For, you know, probably for a month or 6 weeks.
I'd
so,
say good luck getting that thermometer, you know, with
well,
that.
That's
especially
just
with a teeny little cat. Yeah, that's easy to say,
it's
Dr.
It's easy
Bill.
To say, and that people don't do it much because we've been spaying them at 6 months of age for 30 years.
Right, right.
So, but they did used to, the older practitioners used to talk about doing that. So that's something that, you know, we might look into again.
Well, okay. Well, so
I don't know
so
if that answers your question.
Sound. Well, yeah, it kind of, yeah, it does. It does.
But my big concern now is the immune function
in general. All right.
And that's a whole different subject.
Well, and we will continue to talk about that, unless, of course, folks, you are just chomping at the bit to talk to Dr. Bill and ask your animal medical care questions. So as we turn this hour around, we are opening up the phone lines. Scotty, let's give away our first copy of Food Pets Die For. So if you want a copy of Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For, now is the time to call. And if you would like to speak to Dr. Bill with an animal medical care question, now would be the time to call. And local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 1-888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. So give us a call. Phone lines are open. Animal World continues Vet Sunday straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK, FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
This life, you're becoming my mother. I know I am. I think I am your mother.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
So you're saying that he's been married twice before this woman?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
I see you getting married in 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KTNW.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial, tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, you can be in touch with us while we're on the air right now in a few different ways, and phone lines are open. We are entertaining your animal medical care questions. Dr. Bill Burlingame is here for Vet Sunday, and a local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. Remember the one, 888-298-5569. And you can send us an email while we're on the air to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Be sure to get them in early enough that we have time to print them and read them and address them before we're out. Remember, we're ending early at 11:45 today for women's softball. Alrighty, now, you can be in touch with Animal World during the week by going to the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com. There's links to all of our advertisers and sponsors there, link to the audio archives. You can listen to past shows. And click on current events for the current event stuff and lots of other great stuff there for you. If you want to send me an email, you can hit the Contact Martha link on the website, or address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. And if you're submitting current events, please do so via email. And if you need to post something to Animal World, you do that, send it to 19916 Old Owen Road, Monroe, 98272. And if you need to get a hold of me, the best way is calling. And I always do a free telephone evaluation, so call me if you got problems with your animal friends. Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. And please bug my voicemail, 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Now, Dr. Bill, if you need him and his services, because you're back working again, right?
I'm back.
All right, and it's Quill Ceta Vet Clinic in Marysville, down the street from Jones and Company. And their phone number is 360-659-8482, 360-659-8482. And are you still on the same schedule? You're working Monday and Tuesdays?
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
All 3 days now.
Dr. Lamb is off for maternity leave.
Oh, I didn't know she was expecting. But
I think she's still expecting until this week.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's just myself.
Yeah,
it's a neat thing. It's myself and Dr. Thompson. So
you guys are covering the bases, huh?
We hope so.
Now, how long is maternity leave these days? Should
I don't know.
A month or so, or do you know?
I don't know. I don't know. I just do what they tell me to do. I go to work,
and then
probably 8 weeks, I would guess. I don't know.
Now, I wonder if I'm on, because Dr. Lamb owns the practice now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering. Can you see a veterinarian with a baby and a papoose on her back or something?
Man.
I mean, do you think she's going to bring the baby in?
There's all these stories, you know, about putting those little babies in cages and go to work.
And yeah, I'm wondering.
I know my daughter
spent. Are you going to have a little baby daycare? Did you bring your daughter
in? Yeah. Erin spent a lot of hours there. We had a nice little back room, and I never put her in a cage, but I always tell her I did. But, yeah, she used to hang out. Sure. You know, the clients would come in and they'd hold her for us, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of a family thing. It was kind of fun, actually.
Huh?
When you think back about it, it was, you know, it's kind of nice. But
and you didn't worry about your baby catching stuff from the animals?
Not at all. No.
Good.
That was probably a good challenge for her immune system.
All right. Well, all right. We've got now, and let's see. We did a report, a follow-up on Timber, our dog with cancer. And so, Steve, I know you sent me an email, said you'd be listening today. If you haven't checked your email, I sent one back to you late last night. I would love to hear from you because I want to talk to Dr. Bill about Timber and if there's anything more we can be doing. So I want you to pick up your phone and give us a call. And while we're waiting on Steve to call, how about we'll see what's going on with Colleen in Seattle. Colleen, welcome to Animal World. You're live on Vet Sunday with Dr. Bill Burlingame. Hey, Colleen.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Sorry, had a little static there.
Okay.
I have a couple of floppy-eared dogs.
Are there any specific breed, Colleen?
Well, Brittany Spaniel mix and Rhodesian Ridgeback mix.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And both have floppy ears.
Yes.
Okay. And what's going on?
Well, they have a buildup of wax and dirt. And in the ear canal, we took one to the vet several months back. We tried this antibiotic ointment. And it just is not cutting it. She said it's not ear mites. And we right now are financially challenged.
Right.
So I read online something about a mix of 50-50 peroxide and water. Squirt a little in there and let them just shake all that stuff out.
Well, I don't know. Let's hear Dr. Bill. What are you going to say about
You might do that
ears?
One time. But peroxide is actually can be pretty irritating to tissue.
Okay.
Normally, you'll read about for home remedy things is diluting out some vinegar.
Yeah, apple cider vinegar.
Right.
Isn't that what's recommended?
Dilute some vinegar, 50-50. But anything you're doing consistently to an ear, if you don't get results in a week or two, then you got to question what's the underlying cause and am I doing the right thing?
Right.
So assuming that the veterinarian told you that the lower ear canal was free of disease, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the lower ear canal is unaffected, so you know, using an ear rinse may be worthwhile. You can get some over the counter in pet stores, or you could request a bottle from your veterinarian. And doing that 2 or 3 days a week for 2 to 3 weeks to see if that resolves the problem. If you have persistent issues, then you got to start looking a little at a bigger picture and start looking for underlying allergies or low-grade infections.
Right.
So
well, I hadn't seen the cider vinegar.
Yeah, that's something I would rather go with than the peroxide.
Oh, it sounds much better, yeah.
Yeah, peroxide is actually can be very damaging to cells.
Mm-hmm.
Kills bacteria really well, but it also kills cells really well.
That's why I haven't tried that.
Yeah, and I think it's important to know, you know, folks, when you're talking about those floppy ears, that's real significant, you know, because with us humans, what helped me understand, you know, dog ear problems, us humans, the ear canal like kind of just goes straight in. But isn't it true, Dr. Bill, with dogs, ear canal, they kind of like are L-shaped. They go down and then take almost a 90-degree angle in.
That's right.
And then when you have an ear flap that comes over it, there's no air circulation and stuff can get down in there.
There's one more factor, but there again, in these dogs, if the lower... That's why the examination is so important to see what's going on in the lower ear canal.
Right.
And if the lower ear canal is healthy, then you got a little leeway. But yeah, it's just one more factor. If you got a prick-eared dog or dog's ears straight up, it's just one less issue. You got some ventilation to the outer part of the ear canal.
Well, the Brittany Spaniel, she is just obnoxious. She will not let us get near her.
You got more than just wax in the ears then.
Well,
there's a really strong correlation with persistent and recurrent ear disease and allergy. 75% to 80% correlation. So if you have one that's like, it's not just wax, but it's they won't let you get there.
I think, well, part of that is your personality.
Well, and, you know, that's part
of
the formula.
Well, yeah, Brittany's can be pretty high strung and can be kind of in the
But also, if it hurts what you're doing, if it hurts to begin with, and then you are trying to do something and it hurts more, then that's a conditioned response.
Well, she'll let us pet her ears, rub her ears. That's just great. But if we pull out a Q-tip or something.
Of course. She's no dummy. She knows what you're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe if you closed your eyes, she wouldn't see you.
True.
No, just kidding.
Did I tell you how brilliant Dr. Bill is?
Absolutely.
You know, you really got to start looking. Are there other issues in these pets? How long has your problem been going on?
Probably about 4 months.
Yeah, you got an underlying issue. Now, so first thing is, you've done the right thing. You went to the veterinarian. They looked for any parasites, assuming they used some sort of topical. And did it get better with the medication?
You know, it really didn't.
Okay, so you can have underlying allergy, and if you have allergic skin disease, and remember, your ears are covered by skin.
I had no idea that dogs can have allergies that affect the ear.
Well, ears
is it usually
skin.
Isn't it chronic ears? Isn't that most related to food allergies or not?
Well, I just say allergies in general.
Yeah, I noticed that. That's why I'm asking.
Right. So I'll put your three main categories of or causes of allergy in dogs is flea allergy, food allergy, and environmental pollens. So those are your three components that make up the majority of allergies. And probably with persistent and recurrent ear disease, you have a 70 to 80% chance that there's an underlying allergy. Then there's secondary infections, and then you got anatomy of the ear, and so sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not easy. But I would probably try to start and see, but it doesn't sound like your dog wants you to go after it. How about the Rhodesian cross?
He's mellow. He's like, go for it.
So he's got waxy ears, but they're not as sore?
I don't know.
Or sensitive?
Personality. I mean, it is sensitive.
Does your Brittany scratch at the ears and rub at them?
She shakes her head.
Yeah, she's got something else happening.
Now that brings up something. I want to mention something. When you say she shakes her head a lot, I haven't seen a problem like this for a while. I haven't had one with my own dogs, but I remember having a lot of problems when I had golden retrievers prior to Pleckner. Dr. Al Pleckner, we're talking, you know, pets at risk from allergies to cancer, remedies for an unsuspected epidemic, and the endocrine immune imbalance that we've talked about so many years here, and Dr. Bill is the most knowledgeable in our area in diagnosing and treating this. It has to do with the endocrine immune stuff. But so I say, prior to my experience, when Dr. Al's first book came out in the 80s, and I'd learned from him about food allergies, feeding hypoallergenic diets and rotation, that ended my chronic ear problems with my Goldens and the allergy problems. Prior to that, I did have some allergic problems, and I would get some ear things. And when she said ear shaking, Bill, you know, what I remembered was the problems with hematomas. Because that's something you have to be careful about. If you've got a dog with an ear infection and they scratching is different than shaking their head. Because you correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Bill, but what happens is they start shaking those head because the ears itches, and then somehow what, blood vessels rupture inside the ear? Can you describe what happens with that?
Well, your ear flap essentially has four layers. You have two layers of skin, and inside those two layers of skin you have two thin layers of cartilage, and then you have vascular supply on the outside and the inside of those cartilage layers. And the shaking of the head back and forth, if we could get an ultra-slow camera and watch the way that ear hits the top of the head and the side of the face, you fracture some of those capillaries in small veins, and then you'll get a blood pocket in the ear secondary to the trauma. I think that scratching also probably has just as big an effect. So shaking head, scratching. So, yeah, that can lead to blood pockets or hematomas, as they're called, of the ear flap.
Well, they do lick each other's ear.
Yeah, so
But the problem is when you get a fat ear like that, they used to be. Is it any easier to treat them now than it was 30 years ago? They were a pain in the rear, and sometimes you even had to put drains in or
stopped doing that years ago.
Really? So just let them go and resorb on their own? And eventually
try to convince the people to treat it medically, and most of those will do pretty well.
Oh, okay.
It's fun, though, to do the surgical approach. But to be honest, I talk the people out of it. I really like doing it, but I talk them out of it, because if you're patient with a pet and medicate them, and you can get them through it and save a lot of money, a lot of pain, a lot of anguish. I think we just need to be careful to not assume that both of your dogs have the same underlying problem. I think the Brittany is more of an issue. I'd try to clean the ears 2 or 3 days a week for a couple of weeks with either vinegar or, a good over-the-counter or an ear wash from your veterinarian. Only try just doing one ear for a while just to see.
Just one ear.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Great. So work on that ear and see what happens. I like to warm any fluids that I put in the ear.
Right. So you said cider vinegar and water equal parts?
Yes, if you're going to try a home remedy, that's probably safe to do for the first three or four times and see. If it doesn't work after that, it's not going to work. So just move along.
True.
That's right.
Now, not all of what Dr. Bill has said is so important. I want to throw into just what I've learned about ears. I remember years ago there was a good herbal ear treatment. It was called herbal ear relief, but I haven't seen it for a long time because I found something even better. And I wonder, Dr. Bill, are you? I learned about this stuff first from Dr. Larry Siegler at the Animal Healing Center in Redmond eons ago, and then I found out years after that that he learned about it from our Dr. Doug.
Right,
Dr. Ear, the McKillop's solution. Do you use that?
No, I don't.
Well, now Colleen, I'm just telling everybody this. It's some kind. It's called McKillop's, McKillips, McKillop's solution, and they make it up. I mean, he makes it up specially. You know, and I don't have no idea what's in the stuff.
Right.
But it separates out really bad, so that when you use it, you have to shake it like crazy forever to get it all back in solution. But it's apparently all natural, and I'll tell you what, since I discovered that, it's been at least 10 years, could be 15, I have not had an ear problem with my floppy-eared dogs ever since. Now, too, I understand the Pleckner stuff, and I'm doing hypoallergenics and rotations, and so I'm not getting a lot of problems. But if there ever was any wax buildup or something, I just put a little of this McKillop's in. It can be done prophylactically. But I'll tell you, I swear by that stuff and have for years. But you can't buy it anywhere over the counter, but they do have it at the Animal Healing Center in Redmond, and they do have, Dr. Doug has it up at All Animals and Bird Hospital in Lake Stevens.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
But good luck.
Yeah, good luck. And if you need more help, let us know.
Okay.
And keep listening, though, because we're going to be talking. I think we'll talk probably more about the Pleckner stuff here or there, this endocrine immune stuff, which when you say, Dr. Bill, with dogs that have these chronic ear infections or the allergy stuff that probably looking at endocrine immune imbalances?
Well, you're looking at definite an immune deficiency or imbalance, and most of them, in my opinion, should be screened for the Pleckner imbalance.
Pleckner imbalance? Okay. All right, Colleen, so keep listening.
Oh, I am hooked on your show.
Ah, wonderful. We'd like to hear that.
I have switched from Kim Komando to you.
Oh, my.
Mm. Yes.
That sounds like a big switch.
It is.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. You stay with us.
Thank you.
All right, Colleen. Thanks
Bye.
For calling Animal World. That opens up a line for you folks. Local number 425-373-5527. And toll free is 1-888-298-5569. All right. Before we continue, let's see. Dr. You could call her now, Scotty. Let's see. Scotty says Phyllis called, and Phyllis has a stray cat she had for 13 years and wants to know what she can do to make her cat more comfortable, like sleeping areas and types of food for elderly cats. So what do you have to say?
Is this stray cat an outdoor cat? Would be my first question.
I would think
either way.
I would bet. Well, let's see. Scotty's on the other line right now, but I would imagine that it's an indoor kitty, indoor outdoor.
Right. A padded, heated sleeping area, and there are different types of energy pads and infrared pads and things like that you can buy for cats.
Yeah.
So I think you know. Cats do a lot of sleeping, so why not focus on where they're spending that time?
Yeah.
And then nutrition, boy, that's a whole show there, nutrition. Increasing, let me say it differently, decreasing the amount of carbohydrate intake, which means decreasing canned foods. Excuse me, dry foods.
Dry foods, yeah.
Increasing canned foods.
Decreasing dry.
Right. Increasing the types of fats that this animal's getting is trying to get some animal fats into them. You know, you you can go from there and start getting into frozen raw foods, fresh frozen raw foods and things like that. Lots of variety. Problem is, in a really old cat, it's not always easy to change their nutrition.
Yeah, and do you recommend generally a different diet for older cats than for young or middle-aged ones?
If we look at species-appropriate foods in a, quote, healthy animal, no.
Okay.
So if we're doing the Catkins diet.
Yeah, Catkins.
You know, everybody remembers the Atkins
diet. Yeah, I was thinking that's a takeoff of that.
That's right. The Atkins diet was a low-carbohydrate, high-protein, medium-fat with veggies diet, which is the perfect Catkins diet. And so that's basically a species-appropriate menu. So getting rid of all the carbs and all the processed foods and all the food dyes and all the chemicals in the foods, trying to go as fresh as you can. Canned foods, when you go essentially in round numbers, when you go from dry food to canned food, you decrease the carbs about 50% on average, which is a huge amount.
Yeah.
And still probably the regular, you know, store-bought canned foods probably still have too many carbs. But it's a big step, big step. Healthy oils, again, your fish oils, animal fats, butter, things like that, really important for cats. Micronutrients, trace nutrients, ultra-trace minerals. Minerals are really, really important, and it's probably one of the main areas of diet that's overlooked.
Okay.
Dr. Plechner's, the product that he recommends, the Nutrimen.
And that's a Nutrimen. That's that kind of clay kind of stuff out of California.
It's montmorillonite clay.
Yeah.
Has over, let's see, that particular product, 60 or 70 mineral, organically derived chelated minerals.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great product, or there's a lot of similar products on the market, but that's a good product. Very economical to use. So I guess that's my basic advice. What do you want to add to that?
Well, I think I don't know if you have an absolute preference about type of diet. My cats now, of course, I'm down least amount of animals I've ever had in my whole entire life. I'm still getting used to it, Dr. Bill. I'm in my whole entire lifetime, 60 years on this planet, I have never been without a dog in my life until now.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, every single night when I get ready to go to bed, I have that, oh, crap moment, what about the dog?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realize, where's Annie? She's not there. I mean, that's what an adjustment. It is something else. And so I'm down, I'm two cat. I've got my last Abyssinian G-man. And he, Phyllis, he's on the same age as your kitty, because he'll be 14 in June. He's doing great, Dr. Bill, although, you know, he's too fat. And because you remember when my mom died and I was going from the farm to taking care of dad and stuff, I placated my cats with food. And then I was never in a position to really be able to take the weight off them after that, because then I got into, problems with Mike and all of that. But anyway, now we're down. I've got little Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks, who doesn't care a lot about eating, so she doesn't bug me for food. And then I got G-Man, so I'm now in a position to start taking a little weight off of him. So I feed my cats, all they get these days is the fresh raw food diet from Natural Pet Pantry. So, and then because, well, you know, with my Jilpy, with the Plechner thing and the bladder cancer, I had to cook that turkey for him. And so everybody got spoiled. And so I still cook a little bit of that raw turkey for their dinner, because G-Man likes that. But I'm starting to take a little weight off of him. But for me, the raw food has worked really well for my cats. I got everybody off of dry food after I moved away from the farm, and they all got fat on extra dry food. And then I got them off it, and I just feel so much better. I know I will never put another cat on dry food. So that personally for me, I feel that. But do you have a preference as to raw versus home cooked versus processed food? Or do you think a good job can be done in all of those areas, depending? And
My kind of recommendations on nutrition is following the three rules of nutrition.
Okay.
First rule is variety.
Variety. Okay.
Second rule is moderation.
Okay.
Third rule is freshness.
Oh, that makes sense.
Variety, okay. Moderation, freshness. Now, when you feed a processed food, you violate all three rules. So,
okay.
Given that,
yeah.
If and I'm in between pets right now, so. But if I had a pet right now, I would be doing all three. I would have a little bit of a really high-quality dry food in there. Mm-hmm. I would have some fresh frozen raw. And I'd probably just do a little home cooking here and there.
Yeah, I, would that's, just, I certainly agree with that with dogs because, you know, I want them to recognize everything as food.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. Yeah, but I'm. And some people would say, and I should say this for elderly cats, because I think Dr. Pluckner, you might think that he'd be real into raw food diets, mm-hmm. and he's really not, because he think this, you know, endocrine immune imbalance is so common, he gets concerned about animals with the imbalance being able to deal with any possible bacteria or something in the raw food.
That's right, but you got to look at the source of the raw.
Yeah.
So in general, you don't know what the source of your raw is, so I agree with that consideration. But if you do know that the source is good, mm-hmm. you know, like, what's her name at Raw Advantage?
Right. We found out some real interesting stuff,
right.
didn't we?
So if we know that they're really paying attention to what's going on, then I think the risk factors are really low. But if you go to the grocery store and start buying uncooked meats,
right,
then that's a whole different game.
Yeah, and what we found, like the Raw Advantage gal, she started doing testing because everybody was squawking about the potential for bacterial contamination in raw foods. She started testing her facility where she makes it and all of the meats that they use. They could not
very
culture.
Low levels.
Yeah, very, very low to nothing levels. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. So Bill's absolutely right. You know the source. These prepackaged frozen raw food diets are pretty clean.
Yeah, if they come out of a USDA certified organic facility, then that's one subject. If you're going to your grocery store or Safeway, whole different ballgame. Yeah.
Now the other concern that I've heard, I don't know how you feel about this, would be the possibility of older animals moving into delicate kidney function, is it okay to feed them raw, or would they be better getting that meat cooked?
Not necessarily. And it really depends upon the individual. So if you're actually into a patient that's having medical issues, then most rules go out the window. You track the individual, mm-hmm. and you're tracking, when you change nutrition, you're tracking to see what's going on with the parameters that are abnormal.
Okay.
So.
Now, am I right in this thinking in that for older animals that might have potential kidney issues or whatever, that it's a lot, sometimes veterinary medicine and the prescription diet say, older animal, lower the protein, because protein's the problem. But I think I've learned in my experience, but I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, that it's not necessarily the amount of protein, it's the quality of protein. And if it's a higher quality, the kidneys can deal with it much better. Now, so where am I okay on that?
That's an ongoing debate.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's yes, it's amount of protein, and yes, it's quality of protein. And it depends upon where in the stage of kidney disease that patient is. That's just a constant ongoing thing. But I think you really got to look at your trace nutrients, your omega-3 fatty acids have been shown to have a protective effect on kidney function. Let's look at your minerals, your trace minerals. Magnesium, that's the one example I normally use.
Mm-hmm.
Magnesium has a rate-limiting effect on 300 enzyme systems in the body.
Wow.
One element like that. So look at, you know, 72 some trace nutrients that they probably should be having. So, you know, you got to look at nutrition as really preventative medicine. And when we're talking about protein, we're talking about macronutrients, the large, you know, the carbs, the proteins, the fats. But what comes along or doesn't come along with those nutrients when they're processed?
Hmm. All right. Okay, let's get back to the phones here. We're going to a familiar voice to all of us down in Olympia. I bet you could guess. You must be psyched.
I wonder who that could be.
Yeah? You got a guess for me?
I got a guess, yeah. Well, is it Peg?
That would be it.
Imagine that.
Psychic from Olympia, our very favorite listener down there. That would be Peg. Good morning, Peg.
Hey, Martha. How are you?
Well, I'm glad to hear your voice, and I send you hugs.
Thank
Big
you.
Big hugs. You and I have both been through some traumas lately here.
Yeah.
So what can Dr. Bill do for you today?
No, I wanted to talk to you.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Dr. Bill, I want to talk. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Well, I have an appointment. I was going to tell you, back up on the MacKillops.
Oh, yeah, the MacKillops ear stuff.
That it takes so long to shake.
Yeah.
You can solve that problem.
Hmm.
Dr. Urot gave it to me in a big, big, tall bottle.
Yeah.
That has a flat side.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes like 20 minutes to shake it up.
Right.
So what I do is I just lay it on its side, on the flat side. I just timed it. It took me 35 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. It takes the solids and it spreads it over a real thin area.
Oh, okay. Well,
then you shake it with the solids on top.
Yeah, the only problem for me with that is that I pour mine out of the glass bottle that he sells it in, and I pour it into a plastic round, you know, one that can squeeze to
this
put in.
This is a plastic bottle.
Oh, okay.
And I put a big eyedropper in it, one of those big long eyedroppers.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
So lay it on its side.
So lay it on its side, and then it's easier to shake up.
It spreads those solids really thin. And I mean, I couldn't use it. I mean, there was just no way I could use it with that long shake time.
I know, it's ridiculous. So it's but have you found it to be as have you found it to work as well for you as I have?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does work.
Yeah, it's just a matter of you know, can you use it? And it was impossible to use. It's just. I don't have that much time in my life.
Yeah, okay, so we lay the bottle on its side, and that makes it easier. Okay, well, that's good.
That's all I had.
All right, yeah, that's it?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, glad to know you're out there. And what, you're going up to see Dr. Bill tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah, the crew.
All right, well, you
give
her a hug for me, will you?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Peg.
Bye.
Bye. All right, now let's see. We got a question from another listener here, Dr. Bill. This is an interesting one. And she must be too shy to talk on the air. Lily has a 10-year-old chihuahua with a torn and herniated rectum. She wants to know if there's an alternative other than surgery that can be done for the dog because she doesn't want to do surgery. That's a 10-year-old. Wow.
That's a really uncommon problem, and it would maybe be inappropriate for me to comment on that. I think I need to know a lot more.
Well, so what she's describing would be somehow the tissue inside the rectum must
there's
be...
There's more to the story
there.
I would like to give her an easy answer, but I don't think there is. Maybe she should just get a second opinion from another veterinarian. There's just something tells me in my gut that there's, because that is such a rare problem.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How did, a torn and herniated rectum.
Mm-hmm.
How does something like that happen?
I don't have
dog?
Any
idea. Do you have any idea?
I don't know. That's really uncommon.
So I would imagine that's probably a situation, Lily, that has to be evaluated on the individual case.
Yeah, so did you have chronic diarrhea? Is there a tumor up in there? Is there some sort of growth that's invading the mucosa, the rectum, leading to a tear? Have there been biopsies done? Has there been a rectal exam done? There's a lot of questions to be answered.
Yeah, see, that's why you shy ones that don't want to be on the phone with us. You see, there's so much that could be going on. It's very hard to give you a safe answer. So, Lily, if you can pull up your big girl pants and want to talk to us on the air, I don't know how much more specific you could get if she knows, but chances are he'd either have to see this dog or know more anyway.
Doesn't hurt to get a second opinion from another veterinarian in your area.
Yeah, and it seems to me, though, with a torn or herniated rectum...
That's a problem that we're going to have to be addressing. There's no question.
I can't kind of wrap my mind around any other kind of solution other than...
Maybe she has a hernia, inguinal hernia, and maybe she didn't hear it right, see? So you don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a hernia somewhere. So.
Yeah, so you would say that just in general principles, it doesn't hurt to get a second opinion with your animal friends, just like with yourself, huh?
Yeah, it could be a perineal hernia where they blow out the supporting structures that support the tissues under the tail, but it's really uncommon in smaller breeds, although you can have an intact older male dog that can get what they call perineal hernia, where the tissues around the rectum get soft and they bulge out on either side. Boy, I haven't seen one of those in a Chihuahua in years forever.
I can remember. Yeah, they get kind of a poochy.
They get a poochy, yeah. A poochy,
I remember
poochy.
That from years ago. I haven't seen one for a long time either.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's something that needs to be, well, you can manage that, you know, medically and keeping their stools soft and cleaning it out periodically. But some of those, to actually correct it, you got to go in and surgically tighten that down.
Yeah.
So, there's more questions to be asked.
All right, Lily. So, sorry, that's the best we can do without having you to talk to and knowing more details. Also, I'll say here that it looks like Loretta called about the ear business, and apparently she says that BioGroom ear cleaners worked real well for her. Have you ever heard of that? I've heard of the brand.
I'm not familiar with the ingredients.
Yeah, so but Loretta says BioGroom ear cleaners worked good for her.
And if you're doing something like that for a week or two and it's not getting better, then you better rethink what you're doing.
Yeah.
So give it a try.
All right. Now, let's go to, I believe, this is the gal we met yesterday, Scotty, up at Jones & Company. So I think, Dr. Bill, you know this gal. It is Carrie calling with her Chihuahua. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. Hi, Dr. B.
Good morning.
Remind me what your little Chihuahua's name is.
Her name is Violet, and she's 4 and a half.
Violet, and she's adorable, and I have to say, because you came into Jones & Company yesterday when we were up there, and I have to say, she's one of the nicest little Chihuahuas I've ever met.
She is.
She's actually friendly.
Yeah.
When her owner's holding her, and you approach her, she doesn't try to take your fingers off or growl or anything.
She likes people. She likes
people. She's adorable.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so what would you like to talk to Dr. Bill about?
Well, as we talked about yesterday, I was explaining to you, and Dr. B obviously knows since you're my vet, she's got a lot of allergy problems that we're trying to do, elimination diet. We've got her on. She's been on steroids for several years. We're trying to wean her off of that. And she's been on about 3 courses now of antibiotics, so about 6 weeks or so. And
now, she's been on steroids for years, you said. Was that from another vet?
No. I started there with Dr. B. Yeah.
Okay. And you've been, the steroids have been as an anti-inflammatory to help with the allergy sort of stuff?
To help with the allergies and her itching. And then she's also got some bronchial wheezing.
My goodness. Now, we didn't see any of that yesterday. Of course, she seemed very happy and calm and content with you.
Yeah.
But so lots of antibiotics. You're on an elimination diet. You're trying to wean off of the steroids.
Right.
Okay.
And that seems to be a real problem. I was going to tell you, Dr. B, since you've been gone, she is really, really having a lot more itching.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking it's because of the lack of Temeril. She's constantly scooting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, constantly. It's very, very annoying. And she just seems to be miserable.
And when you say
itching.
Scooting, we talk about the little dogs, they'll like sit on the ground and scoot their little butts.
Yes.
And sometimes that's because their anal glands are full. Sometimes it's because they have itchy butts.
Yeah, she's had those drained twice, and that's not it.
From just itchy skin,
she just has
or
an itchy butt.
That, or just inflammation of the colon from food allergy stuff. So
right,
well,
but
it's
don't
been,
you think that the food allergy since we've changed her food, I got to your recommended diet.
Where are we at now?
Yeah,
it's been a couple months since I've seen her, so I don't know where we're at.
Well, she started with the venison and sweet potato,
uh-huh.
And she just didn't like it, didn't seem to be doing anything, so I switched her again over to the duck and potato.
Good.
And she hates those foods, but it's like, well, I'd rather have her eating those and feeling better than...
Yep, we talked about it. It's a clinical test that we got to do for a minimum of 8 to 12 weeks.
Right, and it's been 8 to 12 weeks,
good.
And I really don't see any difference with that.
Okay. So then we need to, I know Martha talked to you a little bit about the Plechner imbalance.
Right, right.
And so that's our next step. But
that's the next step?
Yeah, unfortunately.
The biopsy?
We do a blood screen, but there again, that's where we start getting into a little bit more of expenses for you.
I know.
So I've been trying, as you know, been trying to work into this slowly. The one thing that we can try that would be easy for you is we could try to change this type of steroid that she's on.
Okay.
That would be an easy thing to do.
You were talking about the steroid causing other issues as far as, what was it, diabetes?
You're right, and that's why I've been trying to taper her off of that stuff.
Yeah,
so
that kind of scared me. So is the
it
other,
should.
Will the other steroid have those same effects?
Really good question. It's interesting how different cortisone-type medications are utilized by the body. They all come with warnings. But I think if you're using a steroid that is more recognizable by the body, then you tend to have less issues.
Okay.
But there's always the fine print.
The one that you prescribed for her that she was on seemed to work, but it was very, very slow acting. And it helped with the bumps on her.
Which one was that?
Cause that I don't was remember. The Orvac.
That's an antibiotic.
Oh, that's right. That's
the bumps on her are part of the secondary problem. But what I would like to do is to get her tapered off of Timurol P. Which is an antihistamine and a type of prednisolone.
Okay.
And I'd like to switch her over to a different type of steroid. That's our next step.
Okay.
So we can address that next week.
Okay. Great, yeah.
All
we'll be in to see you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. Well, Carrie, thanks for calling Animal World.
Thank you, and it was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, and it is true, you know, Dr. Bill, you know, we've certainly spent years featuring Dr. Al Plechner and the endocrine immune imbalance and work with it, but, you know, the bottom line is it costs money to diagnose and treat, and it isn't necessarily simple.
No, it's not simple. It's a complicated problem with a simple therapy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And it's something that you need client dedication to, because this is for life.
Yeah,
we prove the issue, it's for life, and you got to retest them as it's going along. And some people, you know, they just can't sign up for that.
Yeah, and nor do you know, I'm making the point these days that, you know, it's really important to know that it isn't necessarily your responsibility as, you know, an animal parent to have to bankrupt yourself to try to keep your animals alive.
Yeah.
That's not part of the game here or part of the process. It is okay to make these choices. It's also okay to consult with the animals, because sometimes they want it, sometimes they don't. You know, Dr. Bill, bless his heart, discovered my Scooties, you know, those, you know, the
biliary
liver cysts, the biliary cyst adenomas in his liver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ultrasound radiologist guy said, wow, we never really get a chance to see them at this stage because they're not usually found until postmortem. But Dr. Bill's very thorough, and he found, I still always remember the look on your face when you were palpating Scooty's abdomen, and all of a sudden he kind of went white, you know, and that look on his face, and he looked at me, and all he said was, we're taking an x-ray. And so it was kind of like that, dump button. feeling. But fortunately, he did discover it early, so we had options. I did elect to go in for the ultrasound to take a look at what was going on, but then realized that there was the option of major surgery to try to remove some of those cysts, but, you know, it was kind of like weeding a garden. There's a whole bunch of them, and they keep growing, all of that, and I decided well, actually, Scooty decided. I did the research, and then talking to my Scoots, he said he wasn't concerned about having surgery. He could do that, but he was concerned about his ability to recover. And he didn't want to have surgery and then be terrible for whatever time we had left. And said unless we could assure him that he would recover from the surgery, it'd be 100% successful, and we'd have great quality time together, he wasn't interested. Well, we couldn't assure him of that, Dr. Bill, and so we decided not to do the surgery.
So how long did he go? 2 years?
He went almost 2 years, yeah. And we had a wonderful, wonderful 2 years. And I don't regret for a second not doing that, because I'm just so almost positive that had we done that, I don't know that he would have recovered from the surgery, or if he'd just been, you know, then a basket case from then on. So I'm so glad that I honored him and we did that. So, no, you don't have to always just spend a ton of money. Okay, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors before we run out of time here. Beverly, hold on to your line, because we'll do our advertisers and sponsors. We'll do current events, and we'll pick you up here before the end of the hour, or we'll pick you up first in the next hour. So stay with us, Beverly. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store-within-a-store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, go to their website, jonesandcompanypets.com. You'll find out all the stuff that's on sale. You'll realize it's absolutely worth the trip. You'll find Jones & Company on State Avenue, across the street, and up a ways from Quilcita Vet and Dr. Bill. And be sure and join the Preferred Customer Club when you get there. Get your card so you can save money and get discounts and free food. You can call them at 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Spirit Weight, a tribute, a treasure. A timeless reminder of a beloved pet or person no longer with us. Spirit Weights are stunning, egg-shaped art glass memorials, hand-blown and signed by Mark Boutte in his Camino Island glass studio. Spirit Weights are beautifully crafted with hollow centers to hold a small amount of cremation ashes, sealed forever in a timeless glass memorial. Go to spiritweight.com to read about Spirit, the inspiration, see design options, and get a Spirit Weight order form. The Spirit Weight, a unique, distinctive, and beautiful blown glass memorial.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Ramit Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium, and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993. And you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150. Got it? Cool.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and gosh, we're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, although we are out at 1145 today. So if you guys have animal medical care questions, want to talk to Dr. Bill, get on the line right away in this last hour because we will be ending 15 minutes early. And we're still waiting on hearing from you, Steve and Timber. Let's see. Now, before we run out of time, it's time for current events.
It'll be time for current events.
Well, it will be time when Gary gets on board. Here we go. Now it's time for current events.
Good day, Mark.
Yeah, well, you know, the jingle cats tend to get a little lazy when, you know, we get out of the holiday season and they have to work every segment, you know.
They haven't been on in a couple weeks.
Yeah, they haven't, yeah, because we wrote them off because we didn't have time.
Yeah, they haven't been used to it, so it took them a little bit.
Took them a little bit to get going. Yeah. Well, they sound pretty good now.
They practice. So.
All right, okay. Well, I'm glad you take care of them. Good care, Gary. All right, let's see. On the current events list, we got a bunch of stuff, and I added a bunch of new stuff. Now, all of this, if you can't write down the details, it's okay. Just go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com, and click on current events on the left-hand side. You'll get all the details. But this week, next Saturday, it's Posadas Night with the Mariners, Saturday, April 9th. The game starts at 6:10. If you buy your tickets through Posada, a portion will benefit the animals. So go to the Posada website and buy your tickets. I think they have to sell 600 tickets to get anything or whatever. But if you like the Mariners and want to go through Posada. Let's see. Critter Fest. Used to be Creature Fest. It's now Critter Fest, the Northwest's foremost festival about all creatures great and small, will be next weekend, April 7th through 10th, and it's in Chehalis. Well, who would think? The Northwest's foremost festival, all creatures great and small, is in Chehalis. Well, I have no idea. Let's see. Thursday through Saturday, it's 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sunday's 11 p.m. to 5 p.m. It's at Yardbirds Mall and Event Center in Chehalis. Admission is free. For more info, www.critterfestival.com. Fourth annual Pause and Play will be April 10th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Tenino City Park. Okay, who knows where Tenino is? I always recognize the name, but I always forget where it is. I don't see any bright lights going on, so none of us know where Tenino is?
Isn't it south of Olympia?
That's kind of what I think so. I don't really know. Well, maybe it's down by Chehalis. I don't know. This is terrible. Okay. So anyway, into wherever Tenino is, Pause and Play is there. Let's see. They're going to have events and vendors, a silent auction to benefit Second Chance Dogs, and they say bring your friendly dogs on leash. For more information, call 360-264-7211. The ninth annual, oh, this is a good one. The ninth.
Yeah, it's just north of Centralia.
North of Centralia. Yeah. Okay, good job. Oh, so it is down there.
Yeah, south of Olympia.
Yeah, da-da. Well, see, right. So you could go down, you could do the Critter Fest in Chehalis, start down south, and then come back up to Tenino and do the Pause and Play.
Yes.
On Sunday. So you could knock off all of those.
Yep.
Pretty good. All right, now how about this? Dr. Bill, you're going to want to sign up for this one.
Okay.
The ninth annual Puppy Putt fundraiser for Guide Dogs of America. That's going to be June 18th. Mark your calendars. It's a motorcycle poker run. Do you ride motorcycles?
No, they don't let me do that.
I didn't think so. So let's see. So it's the Puppy Putt fundraiser. raffle. There's a raffle for a Harley Sportster and $1,000 custom paint job and other great items. It's a motorcycle poker run, but donations are welcome. And if you want more information, you got time to check this out. It's not till June 18th. www.puppyputt.com. I think that's cool. All right, I want you to remember that spring flowers can be deadly for cats, especially lilies. Check out www.nolilies4cats.com. I will not even let them in my house because all I have to do... Do you see lily poisonings often? Because they say all they have to do is chew on it for kidney failure. And what I was reading yesterday was that if they have to, if a cat chews on any part of a lily, you got to get to the vet for emergency treatment within 18 hours for them to survive. And that they have to go immediately onto IVs and stuff to flush them out. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, be careful about that. Let's see. Beat the heat with Homeward Pet Adoption Center. Female cat spayed for just $25 through May 31st. That's a deal. Perfect Pals, Average Joe Cat Show, Saturday, May 14th at the Shoreline Center from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. More details at perfectpals.org. And the Humane Society's 22nd annual Tuxes and Tails.